Ahoy, motherfuckers. Welcome to Hindsight Movie Reviews. As always, I'm Derek, and I'm joined by my ace boon coon, my right-hand man, the best co-host in podcasting business, Brandon. And we are also thrilled to be joined by one of Brandon's co-stars for another podcast that he does, the Why So Serious podcast, and his wonderful sister. So today we are joined by Natalie and Michael. To discuss Elf. I really, really, really want to sound more excited about Elf, but I've watched it. So instead, I'm going to leave the excitement to Natalie and Michael, who literally, when they heard that we were doing Elf, were like, we got to be on to discuss this movie. Elf came out in 2003. It was made by the inimitable Jon Favreau, who literally can do no wrong when it comes to directing nowadays. And it stars Will Ferrell, James Caan, Bob Newhart, Zooey Deschanel, and Mary Steenburgen. Since the first time I saw it was literally last night and this morning, I guess we should always go with the guests on this one. So, Natalie and Michael, I'm guessing y'all saw this at the same time. When was the first time y'all saw Elf? And what were your thoughts when you first saw it, the very first time?
I remember when we were kids, we were really little. We had it on DVD and we would watch it over and over again. So for me, it's like kind of a nostalgic movie. Like we just watch it we've seen it so many times that we can quote it, but it hasn't really gotten old for us. We still laugh. So, and it reminds me, it brings me back to childhood. So,
for sure.
So, I don't even remember if we saw it in theaters or if we saw it on, we've seen it so many times since whenever the first time we saw it. I can't even remember when the first time was. I mean, I would have been in third grade when it came out and we would have seen it shortly after that. So, and she would have been 2-3 years younger than me. So,
yeah. So your now Elf is my Christmas story, basically.
Yeah. So okay. If I watched it as an adult and never saw it as a kid, I don't know how I would feel about it. But like to us, Elf can like pretty much do no wrong because we've seen it so many times and it's gotten to the point where like we'll be sitting in the car going somewhere as a family and someone will say a line from it and the whole car will just like laugh. You know what I mean?
We quote a lot of movies in our everyday conversation.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'll be gross and burp at the dinner table, and like someone will be like, "Did you hear that?" You know, like that's how it is now. Like it's just like that's what it is for us. It's so like you guys watching it for the first time as fully grown adults are probably gonna have a very different opinion.
I think if you watched it alone. It might be different because personally I laugh. I don't know if this is a weird thing or if this is a common thing, but when I'm alone, I laugh less at a movie.
No, I feel you. You analyze things more when you're watching it by yourself than when you're in the rapture of being around others who are laughing and enjoying the movie. It kind of brings you closer into the movie. I just want to point out that they did say that they saw this back when DVDs were a thing. I just want to say that real quick and then clutch my chest a little bit as I eat my soy chorizo on wheat bread quesadilla. Oh my God, y'all kids.
Yes, you're old. You're old. Yes.
Right? And we are young.
You are old. We are young.
Okay, so Brandon, when was the first time you saw this movie?
Today.
Yeah, so be quiet. today. Now, go ahead.
I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was funny. I didn't think it was like hilarious, but I thought it was funny. But more than funny, I thought it was a well done movie.
Oh yeah.
I thought it was a really, really well done movie. As far as like critically, like it was a very tight story. The story made sense. In an hour and a half, they were able to develop like three different characters, which a lot of movies aren't able to do. So I enjoyed that. I love Will Ferrell. I'm a big Will Ferrell fan, so he can't really do any wrong for me. Like, I love all his movies. I probably watched Step Brothers 18,000 times. Like, it's one of my favorite movies I've ever seen. So I came into this expecting it to be hilarious, and it wasn't hilarious, but it was enjoyable. And there were parts that I laughed out loud at, and then there were other parts that I just kind of smirked at. But ultimately, I had a good enjoyment of 90 minutes watching this film. It felt good, and it felt super Christmassy. Like, this is absolutely, yes. Like, I know it's Elf, but it feels like a Christmas movie. Like, mm-hmm. it absolutely, like, if you put this on during, if this comes on TV, it's like, oh, it must be Christmas time, because it absolutely feels like Christmas. So, like,
I would like to add too that I think it's a good, there's a good, I guess, message about the spirit of Christmas.
Very much so,
like,
yeah.
Not just, I'm sorry, I don't mean to sound cheesy.
That's so corny. No, maybe
not even spirit of Christmas, just like there's good, it's like a good vibe kind,
yeah,
of like
that's
the
what
ending
I got. Yeah.
It's like, it's about believing, it's like kind of childlike, but it's,
you're absolutely right. This movie is literally the equivalent of eggnog and a Yule log with Mariah Carey and the Four Tops playing in the background. Like, mm-hmm. This embodies Christmas more than any movie we saw this month, I think.
Yeah.
Bad Santa. Yeah, it was Santa, but Santa was a dick. This movie is literally, it's embodied in the saccharine sweet shit that Will Ferrell was eating throughout this movie, like syrup and Pop-Tarts, mm-hmm. and candy. And it's a really good movie for children.
And watching it as a child, watching him eat that food, it's just like, you know, I mean, I was sitting there like, I want to eat that. That's what I want to eat.
Want that.
And watching it as an adult, I dry heaved. Like, that's the thing. That's the problem. Like, Will Ferrell. I like Will Ferrell. I think he does great work. However, seeing him as a 30-year-old, 5-year-old for a whole movie, it's just like, why? So the synopsis of this movie is a baby sneaks into Santa's bag, a super smart fucking baby, by the way, sneaks into Santa's bag and gets whisked away to the North Pole, where he gets adopted by an elf and becomes elf-like. This is the equivalent of a child. This is like when the people on these Facebook videos that came out a few years ago, the black folks who found out they were black because they were adopted by white people, and then find out that they were black was so jarring to them. They were just like, I didn't even know. But,
I said that. I remember that.
And that's what this movie is. Will Ferrell is like 6'3", sitting on his dad, Bob Newhart's lap, damn near crushing this little elf to death. And thinks nothing of it, which is adorable. It's cute. Like I didn't know if Will Ferrell they said that he aged faster than everybody else did, which is why he looked like he was 30 sitting in class with a bunch of 9-year-olds.
Yeah, didn't they say his daddy was like 429 years old or something like that? At one
490.
Point,
490
years old. 490 years old.
So
one thing I will say about this part, that part that you just brought up, I didn't understand. The one thing I didn't understand with this film was all the other elves seemed smart. So I didn't understand why Will was dumb, unless they were just trying to make the point that people were dumb. And if the point is that people were dumb, then, you know, I agree. People are stupid. So I get that point.
But
they were all really old, though. They're all like a couple hundred years old. So
but
maybe
even if they're a couple hundred years old,
they all saw him crawl out of
the
bag.
All the elves
as
knew,
a baby. They knew it, and they didn't want to hurt his feelings, I think, by saying, "You're not one of us. We saw you legit come here."
But I mean, at the point where you're like, okay, this kid is 23 with a mustache, maybe we should start telling him the ways of the world.
Yeah.
Instead of just having him as a 30-year-old sitting in class, because that means he's been sitting in elementary school for at least 25 years, which just sounds like horrible to me. But the stunted growth thing, I think that's what got on my nerves the most about this movie was the it wasn't the fish out of water. It wasn't the movie. It wasn't Will Ferrell. It was just him acting like a kid. And I think that, honestly, while Step Brothers is in the pantheon of Will Ferrell movies looked at as a bona fide classic, I hate that movie in large part because of the way that they act like two little kids when they're like 35 and 40 years old. My mind just can't wrap around it. I can't see it. Maybe because my parents were military and we were told to grow the fuck up at a very, very, very young age. But seeing Will Ferrell in the North Pole, and everybody's like, oh, nobody wants to tell him, but they're whispering behind his back, which means they literally are sick of his shit, which means elves can get sick of your shit, which I didn't know was a thing. You would think that somebody would have been like, hey, homie, come here. Let me tell you real quick. All right, check it out. I don't know if Santa wants us to tell you this, but you're not six. Grow the fuck up and stop being scared of these jack-in-the-boxes, please. So anyway,
he did play the character well, I think. His it was very believable. His expression, like when he fought them.
It was very believable, which is why it's so annoying.
It is. It's kind of disturbing that a man that old could play a child that well.
Exactly.
If I'm being honest,
you know how old he was when he was in this movie.
How old was he?
Will Ferrell's 41 when he's in this movie. You know how old Zooey Deschanel was?
Like 23.
21.
Mm-hmm.
21.
Oh, that's super weird. And ever
since I learned that, I've been creeped out.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's super weird.
20 years. She's 20. She was like 21 years old.
You know what's funny? The woman on Bad Santa.
She's dating a man child. That part's a little disturbing too. When you watch it as an adult, she's dating a man child, but that's a good point.
The woman on Bad Santa was much younger than Billy Bob Thornton, but it didn't creep me out. The movie creeped me out, but that part didn't creep me out more than this one. Just felt weird. But I didn't realize he was that old. I thought he was just like 30, and she looked super young to me. I thought she was like 21. I was like, oh, this 30-year-old. He even was 30 in the movie. Wasn't he 30 in the movie?
They said he was 30 in the movie, yes.
Yeah. So I'm like, this 21-year-old is dating this 30. I mean, that's not too – I mean, that's a little weird, but that happens. That's not insane. That happens in real life. But now that I know that he was 41 in real life, it's super weird.
So in the North Pole, somebody finally gets tired of this shit and pulls him to the side, and they're like, yo, you were adopted. And so he's like, I was adopted. And they're like, yes, you're adopted. Your real father was this guy, Walter, and your mom was this woman, and she died, and Walter never knew about you. So you can go to New York and find him if you want to. Will Ferrell's character, Buddy, because on his diaper, when they found him, it said Little Buddy Diapers.
So he sees like, it seems like he's, oh, they say to him, you are 980 behind our quota for these etching sketches. And he said he made, 920. He said he made 80. So that means that they got them 85. L's. 85. Yeah, they got them L's on 1,000 etching sketch quota per day to create etching sketches, right? So how many hours are these L's working? And what do you think their pay rate is? Because I feel like... this is some illegal shit going on up at the North Pole. Because it don't look like these elves were getting any money. I guess they're getting room and board. Like, they get to stay there for free, which I was
a bit confused. They didn't seem unhappy.
They were in the big leagues.
I guess they were in the big leagues. Maybe they were getting paid big bucks. Maybe they were getting paid the big bucks. But they're not, that 1,000 quota etching sketch stuck with me. Because I was like, that's a lot of etching sketches. And so they're talking shit about him, and they go in the back and they tell him, well, we'll have you do the very special project of, I guess, counting jack in the boxes. Is that what he was doing? Make sure they work. Make sure they pop when they says pop goes a weasel.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start talking shit about him, like, when's he going to realize that he ain't an elf and he's a human? And Will Ferrell's like, I'm a human. Oh, my God, I'm a human. So did y'all at that point, and when y'all, do y'all like this beginning part of the movie? Because I actually thought this part of the movie was the worst part of the movie. I like everything after he got to New York the best. Did y'all like the part
where he's at North Pole. I like when he first gets to New York.
Then I walked through the Lincoln Tunnel.
It's funny too, because going to New York kind of like feels like that, even if you're from.
That is true.
Like, it's kind of scary.
I thought the beginning was really concise. Like, they packed the storyline for the North Pole into this small group of this very small part of time. Honestly, I think Wonder Woman could have learned a thing or two.
I will say a little weird was the with that the animation, the little penguin and
the four-eyed penguin and four-eyed rabbit,
like,
and even shit.
The elves didn't look animated. Like,
I thought that was a throwback to those older movies, like where you have you know, I forget what they're like, how they had
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, but then they also had like Mr. Freeze and what was the guy, the hot and the cold guys. I've seen
Heat Miser.
Heat Miser and Cold. I know, but I thought it was like, I thought it was supposed to be like a callback or a thematic callback to that, type of those style of Christmas movies. But maybe he just, maybe not. I don't know.
Oh no,
they also had us.
I definitely agree. It's just when he's talking to him, you see that on this side they had two eyes. And then on this side, they had two eyes, which means all the animals in the North Pole had like four eyes, and there's narwhals and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, what kind of weed pitch fever dream is this? But
they also had a snowman named Leon.
Yes.
Leon the snowman, which I found to be quite interesting.
He doesn't know anything. He hasn't been anywhere. What does he say? He doesn't have any feet.
Yeah.
Also, his Santa Claus tells him that you need to go to New York to meet your daddy, who's on the naughty list. So they send him to New York on an iceberg, and he floats that iceberg. How does he get to New York? Like, that's the part I was confused about.
First, he hiked through the seven levels of the Candy Cane Forest. That's what he did first. What happens after that?
That I don't remember.
Then I sailed through the sea of swirly, twirly gumdrops.
Oh, yeah, swirly, twirly gumdrops, yes.
I walked through the Lincoln Tunnel.
So Santa Claus has portals.
Lincoln Tunnel.
So Santa Claus has portals to get, that's how he gets all across the world so fast. He has secret portals, and he goes through these places in the North Pole, and it drops him off in random places across the world instantly. Because I'm like, that's pretty.
He walked from the Arctic North to New York City, which I can only assume is somewhere. Now, see, there's no true North at the North Pole. There's Greenland is the magnetic North Pole. So I can only assume there's somewhere in Greenland. And then, you know, the Sea of Swirly Twirly Gumdrops.
How do you know that?
What do you mean?
How do you know Greenland's the magnetic North Pole?
We talk about it when we go over compass stuff for diving.
Oh, that's some nerds.
Because my compass in the north does not work if I go to like South America. It'll stop working. You need a different compass.
So some science shit. Okay. We're starting. Let's keep going.
We've established it's not a realistic movie.
So
you don't know that.
He arrives, and the first thing that happens to this motherfucker, which is just the best. I laughed till I cried. I might have rewound it like six times, especially after the first couple minutes of the movie where it seems like I'm not going to laugh at this at all. I was so happy to laugh at him getting hit by a fucking taxi.
I said the same thing.
Oh, I was so happy to laugh at that part. Like, I had to cup my hand over my mouth to suppress the chortles when he got hit by that goddamn taxi. Oh, best part of the movie. So, after he gets hit by a taxi, which is literally the taxi's the MVP of the movie, he goes into gym. No, he goes to his dad's job. No, he goes everywhere. He finds a place that says the best coffee in the world. He goes in to congratulate them.
Yes, he did.
World's best cup of coffee. Congratulations.
You did it.
You did it.
He finds one of those rotating doors at a posh building and runs and spins around so much that he gets dizzy and throws up.
I have to point out that New York City and Las Vegas are the only two places where a giant 6'3", 35-year-old white dude in an elf suit could walk around and nobody really gives a shit.
Well, yeah. So far we've decided that a 6'3" white guy in an elf suit can walk around, nobody will give a shit, and that a 5'9" black guy can walk around with a mullet and a gravedigger suit on with sharp ass vampire teeth and nobody will give a shit either.
Yeah, New York City. That's vampire in Brooklyn. Yes, New York City. That's New York. And you know what? I've been to New York many, many times. You see some crazy shit in New York City.
And you people lived there don't for even... a couple months.
I did live there.
Isn't that true, Natalie? People don't even think twice. They don't even blink twice.
Yeah, I kind of liked that about shit. It. People walk around in all kinds of things.
That could absolutely happen. I've ever seen. That's the most realistic part of the film. That nobody would give a shit if this dude's walking around in an elf suit.
And people's attitudes.
So he walks into his dad's building. After going back and forth between two guys who are handing out flyers, he takes so many flyers, they finally run him off, even though I didn't know why. Like, fuck it. It ain't like you're getting paid for how many people show up to this event. Like, I got this flyer. So him taking all the flyers, he could be like, fuck it, I'm done. Take the whole pile and just go home. That would have been me, though. That would have been me in New York, standing out in the...
That guy had it with him.
Right? Like, why? Like,
which is kind of funny, too, because no one knew he was clueless.
Absolutely.
They all just thought he was some weirdo, which I guess he was. But.
Absolutely clueless. Yes, very much a weirdo. So he goes into Gimble, or he goes into his dad's office. Amy Sedaris is at the front desk. And he's like, yeah, I'm here to see Walter. And she's like, oh, you must be a Santagram. Walter's in the office talking to his two lackeys who are coming up with horrible ideas for a book. Walter works in a publishing company. She's like, all right, I'll let you in. It's not that easy to get in to see people, is it? It can't be that easy. But he goes in. Walter's like, all right, give me the spiel. Sing me a song. He's like, okay, I know y'all know the song by fucking heart.
I'm here, I'm singing, and I'm here, and I'm singing. What is he, what else? The song that he sings is dead. I love you, I love you, I love you.
He says, I'm your son that you didn't know anything about.
You didn't know I existed.
I was adopted, but you didn't know I was born.
I actually laughed at that. That was quite funny. That was quite funny. By the way,
that was weird.
He's like,
his dad. Is got well, he's
that was weird.
His dad okay. is all-time terrible. All-time terrible dad. Like well, yeah,
his
person.
Dad is his dad is
rich businessman.
I wish dad were here. Why? He's the best dad in the whole world. Are you kidding me? He's the worst dad in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he was fucking awful.
Yeah, he's terrible.
Oh, poor elf loved him.
Although he did seem receptive to the Christmas gram. At least he gave it. You know, he thought it was.
Well, great. He probably thought it was from a song. Client. He's a business guy. He probably thought it was from a client, and he needs to entertain the. You know, got to make the clients happy or something.
He's like, "Oh, sing me the song," and then he sings that terrible song. And he's like, "Did you? What's the wife? What's his mama's name?" That
Emily.
Passed away? Emily.
Oh no! Emily's the new wife. The
Susan Wells.
Susan Wells.
Susan Wells. He goes like, "I'm the daughter. Like Susan Wells is my mom. She's dead." And he's like, did you say Susan Wells? He's like, how do you know that? He's like, get the hell out of here. And he has the security take him out. And he doesn't understand the security's taking him out. So he's just like, oh, I'll be back soon. He's like, oh, no, you won't be back anytime soon.
Yeah, they said go over to Gimble's. So he goes across the street to Gimble's. And he's walking through. And Faison Love in what may be his best role since Big Worm and his best role since, period. Sees him and he's like, yo, what the fuck are you doing down here? He's like,
eh. Looking at a piece of lingerie.
That we criticized before. You were like, okay, you can't be that dumb.
He doesn't know his own employees.
Oh, yeah, Faison Love,
Faison Love can be that. I mean, it's clear. Like, there's two reasons why I would have thought that could have flew. One, this is really, really basic like temporary staff. Like, they're not Santa. He'll know, Faison will know who Santa is, but all Santa's elves.
I meant the fact that he got his dad a bra top.
Oh yeah, he bought him that lingerie. Yeah, he couldn't be that stupid. I think he knew what sex was. I think he was aware of what sex was. Isn't that what his code word was? Did I read that wrong? When he says, like, let's get some food. Remember, he's
No, wasn't that sex?
Oh. I thought that was sex.
No. I mean, the kid was telling him. I don't think the kid knew, but the kid was 12.
It's a kid's movie.
Mm-hmm. They're not good.
Unless it was an adult reference, like, adult joke.
No, the brother Michael was just saying, like, it's like, it's just a code girls have. Like, you have to take them out to dinner and you have to do all this stuff.
Oh, okay. I got you.
He's like, you know, you should take her out to eat food. You know, like, it's a special code girls have. And then he was like, you want to go eat food? And she's like, what?
And he goes, you know,
the code.
Did you like Faison Love in the Bernie Mac role, Rashani?
Yes. I thought Faison was one of the best parts of the movie to me. The way he was looking at Will Ferrell through the whole movie. The part where he said, why are you smiling like that?
I love smiling. Smiling is my favorite.
Like, yes. Where the fuck did you come from? So, Faison's literally looking at like, I would knock you out if I was 2 years younger. Like, get the fuck back to work. So, he goes.
I gotta say this. Hold on. Before you keep going, I have to say this. These movies always make me uncomfortable because, like, movies like this and TV shows like this always make me uncomfortable. Because I'm always afraid that in my real life, something crazy is going to happen in my life. And I'm going to tell people my story and nobody's going to fucking believe me. And they're all going to think I'm insane. Like, you know, like if you actually saw an alien, right? Like if you actually saw an alien in real life and you saw, if I got on here and I told Rashani, dude, guess who came in my house the other day? A fucking alien. We had a whole conversation. As close as friends as we are now, he'd be like, Can I talk to you about this, bro? Like, do you need somebody to talk to? No one's gonna believe you, right? This dude lived in the North Pole with Santa Claus, and he goes to New York City and he's telling people, I lived in the North Pole, I floated on this fucking river, and I went through this candy cane forest, and I got to a Lincoln Tunnel, and people think he's insane, and he is creepy, but that part he's telling the truth. And nobody fucking believes him. That shit always makes me uncomfortable when I watch these movies because I'm like, what if that happens to me? Like, what if something crazy, unbelievable happens in my life and nobody believes me?
I don't know, like when he says to what's the guy that he fights? Does Santa know you left the workshop?
Oh, yeah. We're not there yet.
So, okay, I'm sorry. I had to get that out.
No worries. So the manager of Gimbel's is like, get the fuck back to work. He goes around the corner. He sees Jovi, which I'm pretty certain they didn't say it, but I'm pretty certain because this is that kind of movie that Jovi's last name was something like Lewis. So her initial was L and her name was Joviel, like Jovial. The only reason why there would be somebody named Jovi in a movie, because what the fuck is a Jovi? He sees her, and I guess he feels things elfishly that he's never felt before because he's just looking at her, and she's like, yo, what the fuck are you looking at? And he's like, the fuck happened? So he sees her, and she's like, why aren't you working? He's like, I'm waiting for Santa. And she's like, Santa's not here. And he's like, I got to prep for Santa. So the whole mall closes, or the whole Gimbel's closes. Somehow he stays there over fucking night. And builds a Lego replica of New York City. And builds like all sorts of beautiful things. He takes light brights and makes a welcome Santa sign because he thinks it's the real Santa coming out.
Individual letters per whole light bright kit.
And individual shading for the letters. So red for the inside and then the outline was done in white. It was really well done.
Where'd he get all that shit from?
There's the toy section.
So you stole it?
Yes. All the paper, the scissors, the light bright, the lights, the Legos were all stolen. And it had to have been the butcher paper rolls that he used and kept tearing off to make a walkway, like all of that stolen. So he makes a beautiful display for Santa and gets there, or he wakes up the next day, goes downstairs because I guess he hears singing. I don't know how he heard singing from this far away, but he hears Jovi singing the rapiest Christmas song of all time, It's Cold Outside. And while she's singing, she's in the shower with the curtain closed, singing the lady's part. He's literally creeping into the women's bathroom, singing the men's part.
They had to have bathrooms and showers in the North Pole.
They had to. And they show him in the shower.
Right?
In that little ass shower.
And so they had he had to have known about personal space and showers and all that kind of stuff. But nope, he's just standing outside her shower while sitting on the sink. While she's singing the women's part, he's singing the guy's part of It's Cold Outside. And he's just getting louder and louder until she realizes that he's in there with her. And she freaks the flark out, which
as she should.
She's like, what are you doing in here? I heard you singing. What are you doing here? I stayed overnight. Doing what? Getting ready for Santa. They go upstairs. They see the whole layout that he's made. The kids are like, oh. Jovi's like, oh. Faison Love is like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, that's the best part. Faison Love comes over and he's like, hey, man, who trying to take my job, bro? This is too much.
This must be corporate. Y'all keep an eye out. If you see anything, hit me on the walkie-talkie. Oh, he just stomps off. So Buddy hears that Santa's coming, so he runs over. He's like, Santa, Santa, Santa. He's in the front with them jumping and clapping. He's with the kids. Santa, Santa, Santa. Santa comes around. Buddy looks at him and tells him straight out, who the heck are you? Santa says, what are you talking about? I'm Santa Claus. And this while a kid is sitting on Santa's lap. Buddy says, no, you're not. Santa says, why, of course I am. Ho, ho, ho. Buddy says the illest shit that you would ever hear as a Santa Claus, like a temp Santa Claus guy. Well, if you're Santa, what song did I sing for you on your birthday this year?
Happy birthday, of course.
And he goes like, oh, like, damn it.
That shit was so funny.
He was like, Santa was like, what can I get you for Christmas, Paul? And Buddy's like, don't tell him what you want. He's a liar. Santa said, just call it Zippy.
You smell meat and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
You sit on the throne of lies.
Yeah, beef and cheese.
Beef and cheese.
You sit on the throne of lies. He said, I'm a fake? Yes. He said, how'd you like to be dead, huh? Ho, ho, just kidding.
How'd you like to be dead?
You know, that part where he goes, what song did I sing to you on your birthday? It was so funny because he just knew that he had him. He was like, I got you. I got you with this. What song did I sing on your birthday? He's like, happy birthday. He's like, God damn it. You got it right. It was so funny. I laughed so hard at that. I don't know. That part in the taxi cab was like two of the funniest things to me. Because I love when people are so stupid in movies that they think they have somebody on something so basic. And the guy just is like, oh, you said happy birthday. Thought it was great.
So Santa and Buddy start fighting. They tear down the entirety of the area. I guess at this point, Buddy got fired. I didn't know. I just thought he got sent to jail, but I guess you can't get sent to jail without getting fired first, right? learning.
You said it worked out okay. They gave me a restraining order.
So he gets sent to jail. Walter, for some wild-ass reason, comes and bails him out.
Well, he called him.
Oh, yeah, he called him. Yeah.
They gave me one phone call, and I know who to call.
I said, I know who to call my dad.
Exactly. If
why I'm did like, he show up, though?
That's what I'm
want?
Saying.
You want some money? What, you want some money? Is that what you want? No. I love you, and I wanted to meet you, and I thought you'd want to meet me.
I did like how they went and got a paternity test, because that's exactly what I would do.
And John Favreau was the doctor.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just saying, if a 30-year-old, 41-year-old man shows up in my office singing about how, I mean, he said the woman's name, and yeah, that kind of piques my interest, but at the same time, I'm not bailing you the fuck out. Rock, bitch. Like, yo, move on. Like, they show, and that's the biggest problem I have with this movie is Walter. Santos has Walters on the bad list. Michael, Walter's younger son, says Walter's a horrible person and on the bad list. Everything Walter does throughout this movie indicates that he really doesn't give a fuck about much but his business. And then he does shit like bails him out of jail and does shit like the end where he suddenly, for no fucking reason, has a fucking change of heart.
I have explanation for that. The first part is simple. When you're a rich businessman, it's nothing you want more less than a problem. So if I got to spend a little bit of money to get rid of this problem, I'm going to get rid of this problem. So let me get him out. Because if he wasn't going to stay in jail forever. So he was going to eventually get out. And then he's going to come back to my office and be a hassle and be a problem. Mm-hmm. So let me get this dude out. Because, and yeah, I imagine. In Walter's mind, he thinks he's crazy. So he wants to go get this paternity test. He thinks the paternity test is going to say he ain't my son. And then he can call some, you know, like, you know, get him committed or something like that because he thinks he's crazy and get rid of that problem. And then he finds out the opposite. So that part I can understand. He's like, yo, it's like that. It's like the thing with Trump where it's like he sues people so much, even when he knows he's wrong, because you're just, you know, just to get, you know, you got to get rid of it. Like, let me just deal with this and sue because I have to and I'll get rid of the problem. But it didn't work out that way.
So they're walking down the stairs from the prison after Walter bails him out. And he's like, really, what the fuck do you want, man? But he's like, I thought maybe we could make gingerbread houses and eat cookie dough and go ice skating and even maybe hold hands. Dude, you're like 30. Like, why are you talking like you're five? Do they hold hands? The way that the folks were talking to him in the North Pole, I think he knows that they don't hold hands everywhere they go.
Well, yeah, that was the weird thing to me. That was the only weird thing to me was that, like, Mike says he's an elf, and I get that. But I was like, the other elves didn't act like him. Mm-hmm. Like, if all the elves were, like, super jolly kid-like, I'd be like, all right, yeah. That's cool. Elf culture. They just act like that.
But so everybody else really acts like fucking Bob Newhart.
Yeah. His dad was but Mike's point is that all them elves are like 100 some years old. So in elf culture, maybe it takes you, like, maybe when you're 30, it's like, you know, it's like dogs that they age like 7 years faster than us or whatever. So maybe like elf culture, 200 is like 35. So if you're 30, you're like seven. And so he acts like a 7 year old in elf culture. He haven't learned what the 200 year olds have learned yet. Yeah. So I can roll with that.
So they go back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I gotta agree with Brendan.
I can roll with that logic.
I'm okay with it. I'm trying to find logic in this. I'm searching for it. Natalie, do you agree with the logic in this situation?
I don't think she heard you.
Natalie,
what was the question?
Our sound cut out for a minute.
Oh, no worries. Do you agree with the logic in that situation that the reason why Buddy acts like a fucking doofus is because of dog years for elves?
Yeah, I was thinking that. But I'm trying to think because the people he worked with were... I'd feel like he'd replicate how they behave.
But I think Brandon's saying they were all older.
No, but she's absolutely right. Like, you hear about... I don't know about white folks or any other cultures or anything, but I know for Black kids, there's always those kids who hang out with the adults because there's no kids in their fucking family. So they always hang out around the adults. And as such, everybody says, oh, that kid has an old soul. He grew up before his time. You would think that him being around and working with elves, because he started working on the sleigh and everything, his dad said when he was like 15 years old. So you would think that he would...
Yeah, that's what I'm
that thinking. He would, you know...
That he would be maybe actually he should act older than his age because he's around 200-year-olds.
Exactly. Like, your back should be hurting and you don't know why. And then they're like, shut up, man. You're only 30. Yeah, you know, sometimes it just cracks a little bit. Shut the fuck up, buddy.
Plus, his dad was 490. So, like, maybe 50 would be, like, he's working with 50-year-olds. He would have the personality of a 50-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
but right? Not, if they're half his.
But definitely not a six-year-old. So at the point where he goes back to Walter's house, and I just want to applaud Walter's wife, Deb. No, what was his wife?
Emily.
Emily, who was very understanding of finding out that Walter had another son. That she was just like, oh, great. He can come stay with us.
It's you can't nothing. Just throw him out in the snow. Why not?
He loves the snow.
He told me 15 times.
Also, that's Ted Danson's wife, which is great.
Yes.
She's great on Curb Your Enthusiasm, by the way.
Oh, God.
Natalie loves.
Oh, Natalie, you love Curb?
I do.
Thank you. I like you even more. I like you even more.
So, Buddy and Emily and Walter and Michael are sitting at the table eating dinner. It's spaghetti. Buddy's like, hey, do y'all have any maple syrup?
And well, you know what? I think I actually brought some.
I actually brought some. I just pulled it out of his sleeve.
I'm used to seeing people do that with liquor.
With liquor.
He does it with maple syrup, and it's hilarious.
And he's like, we elves try to stick to the four main food groups: candy, candy canes, candy corn, and syrup. And
syrup.
And so he's just lathering this spaghetti and meatballs with maple syrup. And little known thing, but they talk about this in the trivia. They had to do two separate takes of some of the stuff that he piled on top of the stuff he made for breakfast when he had the spaghetti and the Pop-Tarts and the candy and the syrup. Yeah, they had to do two separate takes because the first time he tried to eat it, he threw up.
Oh, he actually tried to eat that shit?
He ate it. Like,
oh, come on, man. You can't do that stunt. You gotta get a stuntman to do that.
The stuntman would have thrown up. Also, while he was sitting in Dr. Favreau's office eating the cotton, that was uncolored cotton candy. So he's just eating sugar all throughout this movie, and it's just like, oh, poor Will. Poor Will.
He literally poured maple syrup on spaghetti. I cannot think of much things much more disgusting than that. And the mom even ate it. The next morning, he gives it to the mom, and she's trying to be so nice that she eats that bullshit.
Well, she could have thrown it out.
She could have. So then, Walter is at work or walking to work when Buddy calls him with some stupid shit and says, I'm going to call you back in 5 seconds. I don't even remember. My mind literally blocked out what the stupidity was that he was talking about. But he was like,
Which part? We can fill it in.
When Walter gets the call from Buddy as Walter's on his way to work.
Oh, he's like, there's a horrible noise coming from below the, what was it?
Oh, yeah, TV? He's talking about the radiator. We just saw that in Home Alone.
And so
Kevin was scared radiator, of it. And it makes noise when it turns on.
Okay, I'll call you in 5 minutes. No, that's all right, buddy. How about I call you? Okay, you do this.
It's just like, grow the fuck up. So he somehow makes his way to his brother's school. Michael is standing out front of the school with two classmates. I don't know if they're friends or anything. I'll actually indicate. But Buddy is standing across the street like, hey, Michael, hey. And they're like, do you know him? Michael's like, no. Hey, that's my brother. I'm his brother. And so Michael takes off pretty much fast walking, not running, but he takes off. Buddy, who's 6'3", can't catch up with him until he does, and he's out of breath, and he's like, wow, you're fast. Glad I caught up with you. I
saw a dog today. Did you see a dog?
Wait, I waited 5 hours for you.
I waited 5 hours for you. I saw a dog today. Did you see a dog? Have you ever seen a dog?
Why'd your coat so big? Have you seen a dog? You probably have. How was school? Was it fun? Did you get a lot of homework? Huh? Do you have any friends? Do you have a best friend? Does he have a big coat too?
Oh my I love God. This shit, man. That reviewing this is even more funnier than when I watched it. And I thought it was funny when and I watched it.
It's because of the joy that y'all are getting from this, but it's still like just I think it's because I had 5-year-olds once. They grew the fuck up. But this is literally triggering.
It also has a lot. It also is reminding me so much of Step Brothers the more we talk about it.
Mm-hmm. I kind of want to watch that now.
He wasn't as kiddish in Step Brothers, but he was very
he was close. Kid-like. And there was no excuse for it in Step Brothers.
He was very kid-like in Step Brothers. And so now this came out before Step Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, maybe this was a test run for Step Brothers. Because I do find that movie to be absolutely hilarious. And I thought this movie was funny, but not absolutely hilarious. So I can see that he kind of probably took a lot from this film to bring it into that one.
Have you ever seen Kicking and Screaming?
Yep. I like that one.
No, what's like that?
That's a Will Ferrell movie where he's a soccer coach.
Yeah, he's a soccer dad who becomes a soccer coach, and he turns into a jerk the more his team wins.
That's Will Ferrell. You'd probably like it, Brendan.
I liked it.
Yeah, I've never seen
because
never
he was acting like an adult, Will Ferrell. I think that's my problem. Adults who act like kids, I just can't. I can't. It's just weird to me. I just want to tell all of them. I want to grab him by his elf lapel and tell him to grow the fuck up.
So you want to be his dad? You want to be his daddy?
Hindsight, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah.
That's all his dad was doing. He was basically like, "Grow up! What's wrong with you? You're not an elf." But here's the thing. This is what I talked to you about earlier. He is a fucking elf, and he's trying to tell his dad this true story about his life, and his dad thinks he's insane.
Okay, that's cool. You know, you could be an elf. That's great. Okay, fine. When you're around me, grow the fuck up.
He put the suit on later.
He doesn't know how to grow up.
I know he doesn't, and that's why it's so sad to me. It's just like, oh,
it's
God.
A kid's movie.
That's exactly what it is. I didn't have this as a kid's movie. I had this as an adult movie, and my dad, being military, told us to grow the fuck up when we were like 6 the first time.
That's really young.
Yeah, it's really traumatizing too, but it sticks with you. We'll be back to Hindsight after this brief break. Hey y'all, this is Derek. We wanted to thank y'all so much for listening to our show. Right now, at this very moment, we'd like for you to go ahead and screenshot your phone, your iPad, or wherever else you're listening to this show, and send it to us on Twitter, at Hindsight Reviews. We'll post it up and retweet it to everybody else, and you could be a part of our family. Also, be sure to leave a 5-star review and let us know what you think of the show wherever you listen to the podcast at. Thank you so much, and back to the show. So he goes into his dad's office, and his dad is like, yeah, you got to get the fuck out of my office. But he has him in a suit. He was like, you can't keep wearing this elf outfit. Puts him in a suit, takes him to the office. He's like, you got to get the fuck out of my office. Let me show you the mailroom. And so he gets sent down to the mailroom.
That's my mom's favorite scene, the mailroom. She loves that scene.
Where they're talking about the chutes that take that send the mail down and the tubes that take the mail up, which actually I would have been awed by it as well. You know, if it's your first time seeing and there's a vacuum suction, all that kind of stuff, and he's putting his hand to it and he's like, oh, that sucks hard. And then he puts his face to it and yeah.
Well, it's very sucky. It's very sucky.
Very sucky. I thought he was going to shine in the mailroom. Because even though he was slow for elves, he's still way more efficient than us, like regular people.
Mm-hmm.
Like we see that later when he makes the snowballs. That dude was a machine in the snowballs. So I thought he was going to go in the mailroom and just start tearing it up. I thought the story was going to go differently. I thought he was going to go in the mailroom and just be like a star. And they were going to call his dad and be like, yo, your son is like the most efficient person we ever had in the mailroom. I thought that's where the story was going to go. I did not see it going, he thinking whiskey is maple syrup.
He got drunk and then got in troubles.
Yeah, down to that shit and then started having
a
dance party.
I
gotta
get out of the flow. I'm in the flow. That's the problem.
And they're playing Whoop There It Is.
There It Is.
So young. My pop.
It's Whoop There It Is, like a song that white people play at parties when they want to play rap music. Is that a thing?
No.
Like, no. Did they do that in your college?
No.
But you also went to college much later than this. I'm like, I'd be interested to ask someone around 2003 if that was a thing.
I feel like Womp There is just an indicator of how anybody can make one hit.
Yes. Yeah, who did that song, by the way?
Tag team.
Tag team?
I know that because they start off by saying it. Tag team, back again.
Oh, yeah, they do say that. Yeah, I had no idea the name of the people who made that song. The
question is, how the fuck are you back again when this is your only song? And then after, like Natalie, Michael, I know y'all are young. It's adorable. Hi. After they made Womp There It Is, I'm going to go off on a little tangent for a second. After they made Womp There It Is, they decided to rest on their laurels. And the next song they made was Womp There It Is, the Addams Family Edition. They made it for the Addams Family Values soundtrack. And the song went, the original Womp There It Is song goes, Womp There It Is. Womp, there it is. The Womp, the Addams Family version is, instead of the Womp, There It Is beat, it is the Addams Family theme song. And it goes, Womp, the Addams Family, there it is.
That sounds terrible.
It's awful. It is so bad. And it has no reason or anything like that, but that's what happened back in the day when you came out with one song, you ran with it.
You know they still perform.
I don't know why
this song. Like, people are still hiring them to. They did the Super Bowl halftime show.
Oh, you get the fuck out of here!
Yeah, in 2019, they did the halftime show.
Oh. God, so they're playing Womp There It Is, and he's dancing on the desk because he's drunk off whiskey. He thinks it's syrup because it's the same fucking bottle. He's literally doing the dance like Fonzie did in Happy Days, which is dope. You know, they're like, yeah, and I'm like, there's no managers who are gonna check this brand new guy who just showed up in the office. I mean, do they know that he's Walter's son? Is that why they're just letting this shit happen?
Can I just say a kid who tries like coffee or wine like at church or something, they hate the taste of it. I feel like he wouldn't have liked that.
He didn't like the coffee.
Especially if his whole thing is, I only eat stuff that's sweet. Yeah, Whiskey isn't sweet, not even close. So he didn't like coffee. He damn sure ain't gonna like whiskey. And yeah.
I think they were trying to say it's like one of those things where, like, I still don't, like, I've never had a cup of coffee in my life because I tasted coffee. I thought it was disgusting. I thought it was disgusting. And I never tried it again. But I can imagine, but I talk to people who do drink coffee all the time. And they all say, I didn't like it the first time I had it. But, you know, they drunk it for whatever reason, like to stay up or whatever. And then it just became a thing.
They got addicted because caffeine.
So my thing is, I think he probably just started drinking the coffee. And then it just became, because you see him drinking the coffee in the house in the morning, and then you see him drinking the coffee again at work. And so after he already had the world's best coffee, so now he's in the coffee. And so you dump the alcohol in the coffee. I don't know. When you put alcohol in coffee, do you still taste the alcohol, or does the coffee hide it?
I don't know. Drink coffee. When I worked in a restaurant, we made a lot of Irish coffees.
Which, those are good.
In hindsight, just sounds racist because it was coffee with whiskey in it. Wasn't it? Or was it coffee with some, like, I don't remember.
It's like Bailey's.
Bailey's, yes. Bailey's Irish Cream. That's why it was called Irish whiskey or Irish coffee. So coffee with Bailey's in it, which Bailey's tastes like coffee. So there's that. Are you a
coffee drinker, Natalie?
I am.
Yeah. Natalie drinks coffee every day.
Have you ever put alcohol in coffee?
Have I what?
Have you ever put alcohol in coffee?
I've not. I have had one of those spiked ones, though.
That's what alcohol, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Does it taste like, can you taste the alcohol?
It was like a hot cocoa coffee. Like, it wasn't what you're talking about. it had alcohol in it. But it was
Put alcohol in coffee? Like besides Bailey's, like
I've
whiskey?
Never just poured alcohol in coffee.
We went to dinner for New Year's and I ordered espresso martini.
Espresso martinis are good.
I had an espresso martini because I just couldn't stay awake.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So I guess I have.
I will say this though.
Too much of that was a bad idea. I'll tell you.
When I'm sick, I do put whiskey in my tea.
That's a hot toddy. Okay. Yeah.
And I don't taste the whiskey. And I don't taste the whiskey. So maybe he didn't taste it. Because when I make the tea, it just tastes like tea to me.
I mean, coffee, how strong does the coffee have to be for you to not taste whiskey when you don't even like coffee? That, you know what? I'm not going to linger too far on that because the next thing that happens is somehow the person that he snuck up on in the bathroom was singing a duet with her when she didn't even know it. The person who literally probably thinks he has the mind of a 6-year-old agrees to go out on a date with him because after he bugs Michael for 5 hours and then, you know, bugs him all the way down the street, for some reason they inexplicably get caught in a snowball fight against bullies and Buddy shows that he's a fucking superhero.
That was amazing. I love this scene.
Yeah, me too, but so many questions. Like, does he have these superpowers because he's from the North Pole?
No, he's super efficient because as elves, they're taught to build ships so efficient.
Yeah, you could build like a gang of snowballs because you're efficient, sir. Sure. He's throwing the snowballs at a machine gun pace with 100% accuracy.
That was so great. He hit that dude right in the face. Oh, that was awesome. This movie's getting even better now. I want to watch it again.
I do have
a question for Natalie. As a woman around Jovi's age, if you were her, would you have given Buddy a chance for a date?
No.
Good answer.
Good answer. Because
I thought that was so weird. I always find it weird when like ugly actors date like pretty women in movies. And I'm just, and especially when they're older like that, I'm always just like, that would never happen. Like, that would never happen. Like, in real life,
especially
Will Ferrell.
If that was
her.
She looked like she, like, had,
you would never date
have
Will
the patience Ferrell. For him. They didn't seem compatible.
Yeah, no, not at all. No, old ass dude and a old ass dude and a woman who was literally the person that Kelly. Or Katy Perry imitated to get into the clubs when she was first starting out. I don't see the connection here, but you know what? It's beyond me. So
that's why, like I said, when we watched Bad Santa, right? When the woman falls for Santa, for Billy Bob
Thornton, she tells him straight up, I have a thing for Santas.
Yes, I could get that one. She's like, I got a thing for Santas. This one was very weird.
So after he machine gun kills the bullies with snowballs, and honestly, as you're watching him put these snowballs together, you can see that directly to the right of Michael, the bullies have a clear view of him. They're hiding behind a rock to make these snowballs, but the bullies literally have a clear view of Michael, and none of them are trying to hit him with a snowball. They're all just like, we don't see him. It's timeout. It's cool. So after that, they become friends. They start jumping on beds and wrecking shit in gimbals. And then that's when he says that there's a secret code for women and Buddy asks Jovi out. So after Buddy gets drunk and dances to Whoop, There It Is, him and Jovi go on a date. He takes Jovi to, he blindfolds her, asks her to taste the coffee. And she's like, this coffee
tastes like a crappy cup of coffee. And then she takes it off. It is a crappy cup of coffee.
No, it's the best coffee in the world.
That's not the best.
Like, literally, it's the best coffee in the world.
You know what, though? The beginning of his date was probably really awful. But I think overall it was not a bad idea. I mean,
this is the worst date I've been.
No, I mean, they went ice skating.
Yeah, that was
at Rockefeller.
But can we talk about he took her through the revolving door?
Yes.
The ice skating was nice. It was redeemable. She kissed him, which was really bizarre, but.
Yes, extremely bizarre.
Yeah, he didn't earn that kiss to me. Why?
You missed.
He took me through a revolving door. Like, I don't know.
For crappy coffee.
For crappy coffee, yeah.
No, it's the world.
And actually, she's the one who took him to Rockefeller. She was like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Like, they went around looking at Christmas trees, though, which is kind of cute. That's nice. And then,
also,
she was like, I have a better one to show you, and she takes him to Rockefeller.
This guy, I'm assuming, has no income, so he probably made her pay for it, too.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
I'm going to take you out. And Michael, leave my wallet home. Like, why am I dating you? You're like 78 years old.
Ugh. Michael, next year when the world is hopefully opened up again and it's Christmas in D.C., please don't go on a date and take a woman through a revolving door and then go look at all the trees with lights in downtown D.C. and take her to get some coffee at a coffee shop. That's not a good date. That's not a good idea, Michael. Just give you some advice.
Fair enough.
Some advice. Don't do that.
Maybe that's why I'm still single. I gotta stop with the revolving doors and the the crappy cups of coffee.
Yeah, that won't work.
So they kiss, and at this point in time, Walter, I don't know if he's having a night meeting or if the date was overnight or if Buddy is still floating, but Walter's having a meeting with best-selling writer Miles Finch, who's played
on Christmas Eve.
On Christmas Eve, and literally has to Walter
that's
has to
Peter
beg
Dinklage,
him.
Right?
Yeah, uh-huh. That's Peter Dinklage.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it.
Walter had to beg him to come to the meeting because, like, the part where Finch is like, you know what, I'm not going to do it. Okay, fine, I'll do it. You got. 71 degrees. I'll do it.
He comes in and he goes, let's talk about the, first, and gives him the envelope. Dude, I didn't know you had elves working here.
Actor, man. He's so great. He's such a great
Children
actor.
They're already vulnerable.
Children, they're already vulnerable.
Also, he was, I think he was even more of an asshole than Buddy's daddy.
He was rich.
So was Walter's boss.
Yeah, he is, but look.
Oh, yeah, he was terrible.
That's Christmas Eve. And?
I think everybody in this industry is looked at, and it's funny that they're all looked at as horrible, horrible people because they write children's books.
Well, can we also talk about, all these mean people making kids' books.
Yeah.
When the nun came in, remember when they showed at the beginning, like, but the children love the books.
Why were all their children's books about fruits on farms? That was very
his best ideas about a peach that lives on a farm. What's more vulnerable than a peach?
That's so weird. Like, I've never even read a book about it. I don't think I've ever read a book about fruit. Is that a thing for kids?
I don't know.
Like, no, I'm talking. No
clue. Maybe not. It might have been them getting a poke at that point in time. The big thing in Christian video was VeggieTales.
Yeah, I just thought of that.
So maybe
you know what this means, right? That Miles was trying to do. So he comes in and he says, don't make any books about, Walter says, all we have is vegetables. He said, don't make any of the books about vegetables. Vegetables are too vulnerable. Kids are already vulnerable. But then the guys come back and say that his best idea was it's all fruit and vegetables. He was trying to capitalize on
and
the
a
market
chicken.
For. Yeah. And he was trying to capitalize on the children's book market for vegetables. So no one else would write stories about it.
But the reason why it all fell apart is because Buddy. Hold on. Y'all talk amongst yourselves.
So here's my question. First of all, what is VeggieTales? Is that a real thing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. All right. So we can answer this one. This is what they use in Catholic school to teach children about religion. And it's a bunch of vegetables that are reliving stories in the Old and New Testament.
So the vegetables are like characters, people from the Bible.
Yeah. It's like Tommy Tomato and
That's so weird. I've never even heard of that. That's interesting. And so that's very popular. That's like a popular thing.
I mean, I don't know how popular. Like, they use it in like summer Sunday school. Oh,
yeah, they use it in Sunday school. It's pretty popular. They have video games for it in the whole nine yards. Like, it's a real thing. So the reason why it all fell apart is because Buddy comes in, screams out, he's in love. He doesn't care who knows it. And then he sees Miles Finch. And chaos ensues.
I didn't know you had elves working here.
Miles Finch. Let's do this. Miles, I'm so happy you could come.
I'm Walter Hobbs. Yeah, let's get the taken care of so we can get started.
Here you go.
Got the pan to have me even show up.
Great. All right. What have you guys got so far? I'll start with the cover. Picture this. You got,
I'm in love, and I don't care.
This hat.
Buddy, not now. Can you please go back to the pit? I'll come visit you in a little while, okay?
I didn't know you had elves working here.
Boy, you're hilarious, my friend. get back to the story, please. So, on the cover above the title.
Does Santa know that you left the workshop?
Oh, we're all laughing our heads off.
Did you have to borrow a reindeer to get down here?
Buddy, go back to the basement. Hey, Jackweed, I get more action in a week than you've had your entire life. I've got houses in L.A., Paris, and Vail.
Oh.
Each one of them with a 70-inch plasma screen. So I suggest you wipe that stupid smile off your face before I come over there and smack it off. You feeling strong, my friend? Call me Elf. One more time.
He's an angry elf. Look at you. Ow. Hey, what is that? I wasn't ready for that.
Call me Elf one more time. Call me Elf.
You're an elf.
Miles, I'm sorry. He thinks he's an elf. Listen, Miles.
He must be a South Pole elf.
Oh, gosh. Third best part of the movie for me.
This scene was hilarious. Because this goes back to what this keeps coming back up. He's not trying to be disrespectful. He's literally saying like, oh man, I found someone else like me, like another elf. But he doesn't understand the world that he's in, and it's pissing Peter Dinklage off, Miles Finch, as I should say. And those conversations always scare me. Like I'm so terrified that like, I'm gonna sound crazy when something like he doesn't think he's sounding crazy. By the way, I would like to know who Peter Dinklage's self-defense teacher is, because he was putting all types of moves on Will Ferrell. He gave him an arm drag, like some wrestling stuff. He put him in a submission hold, slammed him on the table, drop kicked him into the wall. Like, that was some pretty badass shit by Peter Dinklage, by the way. So I wouldn't fuck with him again. And he left his notebook there. And by the way, they try to take his ideas from his notebook, and I feel like, knowing how Miles Finch is in this film, they probably would have got sued if they published any of that shit.
Very much so. I also want to point out that Peter Dinklage, I think that this was around the same time. Like, yeah, everybody, yeah, Tyrion Lannister, sure. But also Simon Bar-Sinister from Underdog. This is in that same range of time where he was doing movies like that. So Peter is dope as fuck, but he's done a lot of stuff that built up to this. And I think he killed this role, in my opinion. Like, don't call him an elf. Like, you might be an elf, but don't call him an elf. Oh, he must be a South Pole elf. Like, oh yeah, them South Pole elves ain't nothing to fuck with, I guess. So he loses the deal. Walter loses the deal. Walter gets mad and tells him to get the hell out of his face. Get the hell out of my life. And so Buddy leaves and looks sad, and he roams New York City that night. And while he's roaming, he sees Santa's sleigh crash in Central Park. He finds Santa, who tells him that he lost the sleigh's engine, and that the rest of the last bit of Christmas spirit had run out, and that's what was powering the sleigh. Santa then hits Buddy off with some Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer game, when he asks him if he'll fix his sleigh tonight. That's straight pimping on Santa's part. I just want to give him credit for that.
He also shoved 11 cookies into the VCR, which we skipped that part.
Yes, he tells him, I'm sorry, I'm leaving.
I'm sorry I ruined your lives and crammed 11 cookies into the VCR.
Why the fuck did he cram the 11 cookies into the VCR? Like,
he also clearly knew it was wrong to do that. If he's apologizing for it.
Also, why? Why, buddy? Why 11? Like, wasn't 10 enough? So, Walter is still at a meeting with his boss. And Michael bursts into his meeting. And Michael's like, yo, buddy's gone. And for some reason, Walter, who's the reason why Buddy's gone, suddenly gives a fuck. And so Walter's boss is like, yo, we got to secure this right now. If you leave, you're fired. If you walk out that door, you're fired. Like, everything that you work for, you're done. You're fired. And he looks at Michael, who he hasn't given a fuck about this entire movie. Michael's even told Buddy that his dad's a horrible person. And he looks at his boss and he's like, Let's go get Buddy. And so they go to Central Park where Buddy's working on this engine. And the newscasters are out front.
Charlotte Daniels, New York One.
They treat Charlotte like so much shit. Natalie, did that ever strike you? Like how they were talking about Charlotte. The newscaster who was like, this is how we do it down here.
Who said that?
I don't remember that part.
Oh, y'all. Oh, hold on. I'll find it.
I feel like she was asking them questions. And they were like, and she's asking about. The one guy
kept hitting on her.
Yeah, the one guy was hitting on
that, her. Yeah, that dude was creepy. He's like, look at your eyes. And he's like,
yeah. Your eyes tell the story. That's what I love about.
And then he says, look at your lips. And I was like, hold on, what? What are you talking about?
I don't know why that was in the movie. That was weird.
Because that's how people would act. Oh, Mike, come on. That's exactly how some dude would act. If it was like a pretty news lady, they, Mike, come on. We cover this shit on our show. People do this stupid shit all the time.
I just mean like in this specific movie, an elf. Why is it an elf?
It's comedy.
Was it though? That shit was
crazy. I didn't know that. Here's the thing. Here's another thing.
He wouldn't commit.
This was a running theme in the show, right? So Santa Claus lands in Central Park. The news cameras go off, so they don't get it. We'll get to that when he flies away. But all those people gathered there saw Santa Claus in his sleigh flying with reindeer, right? Mm-hmm. All those people are going to go tell their family and friends.
Which is going to make the Christmas spirit go up.
Yes, but they're also going to think that they're insane. They're going to tell their friends, I was in Central Park and I saw Santa Claus flying with reindeer yesterday. And people are going to be like, what are you talking about? That's the
show. This is the scene that I was talking about with Charlotte getting shaded by the news anchor.
I'm standing here outside Central Park where it's unclear exactly what has happened. What we do know is that authorities have closed the park and are in the process of clearing it. The only thing that people can seem to agree on here is that they saw something fall from the sky. I've got an eyewitness with me who claims to have seen the whole thing firsthand. What did you actually see?
You know, I was walking around, I saw this thing, and my daughter actually pointed it out.
Oh, your daughter saw it? Sweetheart, can you tell me what you saw falling out of the sky?
It was Santa's sleigh.
Santa's sleigh, well, there you have it. Santa's in Manhattan.
Sorry to interrupt your first big news story, Charlotte, but New York One has just received some exclusive amateur news footage that you just might want to follow up on. There seems to be a strange man dressed as an elf wandering through Central Park. Now, I don't know if it's the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to covering in Buffalo, Charlotte, but here in New York One, news is top priority.
Just the unnecessary shade of that.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like, that was unnecessary. Like, why they even have. And then the other dude comes in.
Covering these kind of stories. It is kind of condescending.
In Buffalo.
And then the other dude comes in and he's like, your lips tell the tale. And yeah, all this kind of stuff.
That guy was weird.
Like that whole, I don't know. Like that whole thing struck me. Like, why the fuck are you doing this to Charlotte live? Like, why are you shading her? If she used to work in Buffalo and she's new to your company or she's new to your station, why are you shading her on live TV?
Yeah.
What exactly? And then the guy sexually harassing her, like, your lips tell the tale. Like,
your eyes tell the story. That's what I love about you.
And is that the dude who played the media director on Veep?
I've never seen
that. Oh, you need to watch Veep if I gotta watch fucking Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I heard Veep was good. I don't have a problem watching good shit.
Okay,
it's
cool.
It's no Curb Your Enthusiasm, though.
It's no Wacky D. But yeah, no, that's the part that I just at the end I didn't like. And then they sent in the Central Park Rangers. And I guess they were
Central Park Rangers.
He said that so gravely. But
they've been giving him a tough time for years, apparently.
Because he put them on the naughty list
and they never forgave me.
Yeah, they right? put him on the naughty list.
And so he's running. It was him. It's the guy from Veep. Okay, I just wanted to check to make sure. So Santa is about to panic because the Central Park Rangers are coming. Walter, for some reason, says, give me your coat. He looks nothing like Santa. He's still wearing a black suit. And
that was Buddy's idea, though. Buddy was like, I have an idea.
Yeah, never listen to Buddy's ideas. Buddy's idea of a date was spinning around the door until you get dizzy.
I mean, his idea didn't work. Michael's part of the plan worked, kind of.
Michael's part of the plan was snitching. Like, I'm exposing game on everybody.
Dirk Lawson.
Must be another Dirk Lawson.
Wanted a day at the spa.
Day of pampering.
And honestly, that's something that literally aged well, because now anybody will take a spa day. I don't care if you're sitting in a bar with bikers. Everybody will take that good spa day with the heated rocks on your back and not say nothing, because you just want to be pampered too. You ain't got to be ashamed of it, Dirk Lawson. That's it's right. Okay.
I like when he said Charlotte Denner wants her boyfriend to stop dragging his feet and commit already. Wants a Tiffany engagement ring. That's what she wanted.
And she's still like, hey, who told you that? Like, it's in the book. Like, who would have told me that? Like, how do I know this? So then Zoe or Jovial comes to Central Park, and she's like, Michael's like, it's not working. And she's like, well, Buddy told me that one of the rules is to get into this Christmas spirit, you got to sing loud, which is
that's also way to spread Christmas cheer, singing loud.
Can we talk about her face, though, when she saw the man she went on a date with on the news like that?
Yes. At least that's he didn't like say I love two. Jovi. At least he didn't
I wouldn't
say,
have pursued him.
I love you, Jovi. Jovi and I went on a date. I'm shocked he didn't do that.
Yeah.
But she starts singing Santa Claus Coming to Town in New York in Central Park. And all of these random people start kind of singing with her, except for one person, Walter.
He's such a grin.
You're not singing. Yes, I am. No, you're Michael's not. You're just like, moving your lips.
Yep. He busts him out. You're not singing. You're just moving your lips. And so he starts singing, and his heart grew three sizes. And so
he goes, Dad,
Santa Claus is coming. Yeah.
When he starts singing, all of a sudden, that's all it took for Santa's sleigh to fill up with Christmas spirit. And so Santa literally flies over their head, and it's as low as the lowest part of a dip in a roller coaster when it comes off of a
he almost got knocked out.
Right? He almost got decapitated.
And so Buddy is looking over the back of the sleigh at all of his peeps, and he's saying, bye, bye. I guess it wasn't bye for
bye-bye.
Them. He came back and wrote a book about his life. And also, for some reason, inexplicably, Jovial and him had a baby together. And
well,
so,
you know, when you're in love, you're in love.
Is she though? Like that? Like seriously? Seriously, I could see you having a good time with somebody who acts like a child, and y'all are doing childish things on a date. You married the dude. You married the dude with the intellect of a 7-year old. I'm not saying that.
When they moved to the North Pole.
Yeah.
No, they didn't move to the North Pole.
They just visited the North Pole.
He said we visit the North Pole. He wrote
a book, and I'm guessing that book became a bestseller.
Papa wants to see you.
Yes, they're probably rich.
Off that book.
Off one book.
Maybe she's a gold digger.
Let me tell you something.
It's like, listen, for that crappy date you would pay for.
I would do it. I would listen, I'm trying to tell you right now. If I was her, I'd be like, let me get this money. and then if you get the kid, you got the money forever. Perpetuity. You good.
Yeah. So,
I'm trying to make a business decision. I will say this. I forgot to say this. This movie proves how terrible people are in the world. Because Santa was able to fit everybody on the nice list in one book. One book. Those 3 billion people in
but
this
that
world.
Book, in the book's defense, that book was the size of the Bible that sits on your granny's front table.
Yes. And there's 3 billion people, plus not just the 7 billion people's names, 7 billion people, but not just their names, but also what they want for Christmas.
True.
In the book. And he could fit all the nice people in one book. I mean, that tells me that the majority of us was a skateboard. A Huff skateboard.
That's all he wanted was one skateboard. It's nothing else.
He's a nice little kid. So, you know, some kids don't want that much.
Yeah, yeah. He got his brother. That's really all he wanted.
Not Charlotte Denon, Natalie said. She wanted a lot more.
She wanted a Tiffany's ring. She was quite specific.
Charlotte literally wanted her boyfriend's whole mindset to change.
Accommodate that when he sees, all right, she wants a Tiffany engagement ring and wants her boyfriend to stop dragging his feet and commit. Does he have to go have a sit down with Charlotte's boyfriend and be
here's
like,
here's how it happened.
She was good this year.
Here's
to propose.
Here's how it happened, Michael. Charlotte, put your hands in my hands and say, I wish.
Oh, God.
Say, I wish. Okay. You get that, and in return, I take your health.
That's from Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. But yeah, overall, not the worst movie I've ever seen. I mean, it's a completely serviceable Christmas movie. It's way better than The Grinch. I would put it on par with Christmas Story as something that I will watch every Christmas. I would, and not be mad about it. So The Grinch Stole Christmas, The Christmas Story, Elf, and I think that will be and Die Hard. Those would be the four that I put on the list for me. Because as time went on, just like with Step Brothers, as time goes on, you get used to how stupid Will Ferrell's acting, and so you see past that and you see the humor. And so, okay, I could do it.
Yeah, it seems like Mike and Natalie know this movie inside and out. That's like how I am with Meet the Parents.
With Friday.
Well, I know Friday, but it's Meet the Parents for me. Like, I've probably seen Meet the Parents 8,000 times. Like, and I know it word for word, and I just quote it all the time. It's my favorite movie ever. But I really enjoyed this film a lot. I heard people talking about it. Like, on Twitter, it was a big thing when people were talking about Die Hard. A lot of people were bringing up Elf as their favorite Christmas movie. And I can see why. Mm-hmm. Because it's very Christmassy. It's very few movies I've seen that make you feel like Christmas more than this one. It just has that feeling, like how it's shot. I do like how all movies make New York City seem much cooler than it is.
And cleaner.
And New York's pretty clean now, relative.
Yeah, 2003.
Well, 2003 New York was not as clean as it is now. That is true. But it makes New York, all movies make New York seem so cool. And I'm like, New York's fine until you get there and you realize it's like 80 million people and it's no trees and everybody's bumping into you and you can't go anywhere and you can't get parking and everything's expensive. And then you realize I'm in New York. And some people love that, but movies never show that side.
You know what's funny? And this is some trivia. It's funny that as popular as this movie is, there'll never be a sequel because Will Ferrell literally hates John Favreau's entire existence and turned down $29 million to be in Elf 2 in late 2013.
Oh my God, there's going to be a sequel.
That's interesting.
He said no, like he turned it down. Will suffered from headaches throughout filming because he actually had to eat all the sugary food stuffs on the Elf food pyramid on camera.
Why? Why did he have to do that? He couldn't fake it.
Because it's John Favreau. Wanda Sykes was originally slated to play the Gimbel's manager, but backed out at the last minute.
Wanda Sykes.
She was replaced by Faison Love, who insisted on wearing the name tag made for Sykes, which is why his name tag inexplicably says Wanda.
That's good. Look at that, Mike. You didn't catch that.
I did not.
The elf Ming Ming, who appears briefly in the beginning of the film, is played by Peter Billingsley, who starred as Ralphie in the classic holiday film A Christmas Story.
Huh. That's interesting.
John Favreau used a remote control to trigger the Jack in the Box toys to get the startle reaction from Will Ferrell.
Oh, so Will really didn't know when it was
going to
pop?
He didn't know. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Let me see. What else? The scene where he's fighting against the fake Santa was done in a green screen so the kids wouldn't be harmed.
I wonder what they did on Bad Santa if they actually fought in front of the people.
Oh, I'm certain they did. Billy Bob was probably like, yes, fuck you, yes. Will Ferrell said this, telling Andy Cohen on Watch What Happens Live back in 2013, I will absolutely not be going back for a sequel. I think it will look slightly pathetic if I tried to squeeze back into the elf tights. Buddy, the middle-aged elf.
Oh, look, he's at least self-aware. I can give him that.
He reiterated it in 2017. this was his first lead role.
Oh, really? This was his first lead role?
Mm-hmm.
Was this before Old School?
Let's check.
This is before Old School?
I believe so, but let's check to make sure. Will Ferrell.
Mike, is this your favorite? Is this your favorite Will Ferrell movie?
Yeah, I mean, I have no doubt I'll probably watch this movie every Christmas till I die.
Is this your favorite Will Ferrell movie, Natalie?
Probably. I don't like a lot of his newer stuff. I mean, I like Kicking and Screaming, and I like Step Brothers.
So, in before this, okay, I guess that's like Green Lantern. We don't talk about that. In 1998, he played...
Hold on, he was in Green Lantern?
No. I'm saying this is like Green Lantern. He doesn't discuss this. Oh. In 1998, he played Steve Buttabi in A Night at the Roxbury.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
He played Mustafa in The Spy Who Shagged Me in 1999. So that was a off role. He played Bob Woodard in Dick in 99. He played Sky Corrigan in Superstar in 99. In 2000, he played Lance DeLune in The Ladies Man. These are all still side roles. He played Mugatu in Zoolander in 2001.
Oh, he was so great in Mugatu.
He played Frank the Tank in 2003 in Old School. And the next thing he did was Elf, where he was the lead role. And then after that, he did Anchorman in 2004.
God damn, look, he had a hell of a run. Right. Old School, Elf.
Old School, Elf. Anchorman. Wait, hold on. Old School, Elf, Anchorman, Kicking and Screaming. He did Bewitched. He did Wedding Crashers. He did Curious George, the cartoon. He did Talladega Nights the year after that.
Damn, so, he had a hell of a
2006,
run.
2006, he did Talladega Nights. 2006, he did Stranger Than Fiction. 2007, he did Blades of Glory.
Then Step Brothers
were both in 2008. And then, yeah, after that, he did the other guy in 2010. We might have to.
We might do a Will Ferrell run.
Yep, we're doing it because he fucking did Megamind in 2010. And that might be one of my favorite cartoon movies of all time.
This dude had a hell of a run from 2003 to 2009.
2003 to 2010, you better talk about Megamind.
2010, like that's pretty damn impressive. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Talladega Nights, Wedding Crashers, Old School, Step Brothers, like these are classics.
Mm-hmm. And then 2014, he did the Lego movie as Lord Business.
I like the Lego movie. Did you ever see that, Mike? You're a Lego guy.
Yeah.
I was about to say, please tell me you've seen the Lego movie. That's such
an
endless classic. But something that did not age well in this movie, taxis.
Yeah. No, New York, they still take taxis.
But they also take a lot more Ubers.
They take a lot of Ubers, but taxis are still everywhere in New York. Although, this taxi's hitting someone, that aged perfectly. That'll absolutely happen in New York.
I'm sorry, that's still just
that, such a... When you lived in New York, did you take taxis? Did you only take Ubers?
Hold on, before you answer, Natalie. He told Jovi, watch out, the yellow ones don't stop. Okay, go ahead.
I feel like you walked everywhere.
I did walk lop. When it rained, I would take a taxi. Actually... I also did Ubers, though. It depended on how easy it was to. Sometimes it's hard to get a taxi.
Did they stop for you when you would call them? Would they stop? Or they would just be zooming? Yeah. Taxis are very
interesting. No, a lot of them did zoom by me.
Yeah.
And at that point, I remember I would try to get one, and then I would just call an Uber. But I did a lot of walking. It honestly also depends, because taxis charge you by... time, so if you're going somewhere far,
yes.
Sometimes traffic. They would take, you know what they would do? They would take the long way on purpose, someone told me. And there was an app for being able to tell if they were doing that. Mm-hmm. It would like show you the quickest way.
That's New York City right there. Yeah. In a nutshell. Mike, if who could anybody have played Buddy better than Will Ferrell?
I've seen this movie so many times, I don't think I could see it any other way.
His face like when he was getting beat up by
Miles Finch
was so priceless.
The only other person who could have ran this.
Believable.
The only other person who could have ran this is Jim Carrey.
I think Jim Carrey could have done it.
What I would have liked Steve Carell, to see. Steve Carell kind of plays those kind of characters.
Yeah, Steve mm-hmm. Carell. He could have done it. I would like to see John C. Smith do it.
John C. Reilly, you mean?
John C. Reilly, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he could make those facial expressions too. But I think Will Ferrell was perfect for this film.
Mm-hmm.
What about his dad?
Anybody. Mike,
you think anybody?
I mean, a lot of people could play him.
Yeah.
Just an angry rich man.
Yeah. I think everybody else is interchangeable, but the lead character, he's clearly the MVP of this movie. As much as I want to say it was a taxi. I'm sorry, it still just hits me.
That scene is very funny.
When he
the way he falls on the taxi is hilarious. I did rewind it like 3 times. It was quite funny.
Oh my God. Oh,
I must admit.
Whew, but yeah.
Physical comedy, we don't get that much anymore.
No.
We don't get a whole lot of physical comedy that much, which I appreciate. Mike, would you go watch a remake of Elf if it had all new actors?
I mean, I would go see it. I don't think I don't know if I would like it.
What about you, Natalie?
Yeah, I agree with that. I would see it. But it's hard sometimes. Like, even with a sequel, I don't know if a sequel would have been funny, because a lot of times it's hard to do.
What would be a sequel anyway in this film? Like, it's the next Christmas?
Kid.
Raising the kid?
Raising the kid.
Actually, that would probably be funny. Him raising the kid. As a child, raising the child?
Or him having to, Santa saying, I'm retiring, and him transitioning.
Becoming Santa?
You know, another great movie that we didn't talk about, not so much the sequels, but The Santa Claus.
I was just going to say that with Tim Allen.
I do love The Santa Claus. That's a good movie.
I don't remember that film.
Santa Claus is the one where Tim Allen literally is a selfish fuck who kills Santa.
Yeah, that's a problem I have with The Santa Claus. Santa just dies and no one cares.
There's another one. What's the Vince Vaughn one? Is it bad?
No, he's Fred Claus.
Fred Claus, where he plays the like loser brother
of Santa.
Oh, that sounds funny. I've never heard of that.
Vince Vaughn is Fred Claus.
There's good Christmas movies that just went under the radar. Vince Vaughn did that.
And Christmas Vacation.
Christmas Vacation is another one that we watch all the time.
You hear that, Rashani?
That's my mom's favorite Christmas movie.
Did you hear that?
I heard y'all say Vegas Vacation.
Mm-mm. Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, Vegas Vacation. Totally.
With the great Chevy Chase.
With the he's such a horrible person.
Okay. He's great in those movies, though.
Yeah, but he's a horrible person in real life, and he just needs to get his ass kicked. The best part.
Oh, here you go. Look at that.
The best part of him getting hit by that is the cinematography, how it just pans down so you don't even see. And the Christmas music is playing in the background. He walks out and immediately just gets hit by a car. Natalie, I don't know if you have any podcasts. I don't know if you have anything going on. But if you want people to follow you on Facebook or on Twitter, please let them know they can find you at The Floor Is Yours.
Oh, yeah, they can find me. I think, yeah,
you or can Instagram. Follow me
on Facebook. And Instagram at Natalie Rosemary.
Okay.
I'm not really on Twitter. I should be, though.
And Michael?
And you can find me with Brandon on Why So Serious podcast, all the all of our related content.
Thank you for having me.
It was an absolute pleasure. It was a joy and a pleasure. Actually, I am thrilled to, this is the first time I've hosted Michael on a podcast before. And like where he's in his element, like every other time, it's like, I'm too young for that. I don't know what you're talking about. This goes over my head. This was your movie. This was your time. And I appreciate y'all being here.
Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Oh yeah, if we ever do Pirates of the Caribbean, it'll be he won't let me live it down if he's not on. Yeah.
Michael has a talent for like capturing every word of a movie, and he'll like the most like tiny details. except for Wanda Sykes, the name tag.
I didn't know that.
I will keep that in mind.
That's another movie I've never seen, Pirates of the Caribbean.
I've seen. You can do that.
But, you know, I will say this, Rashani, you'll be surprised by this. The movie, I told Mike this the other day when we were talking about Harry Potter. The movie franchise that most people are shocked that I've never seen before, that's like super popular, is I've never seen any of the Back to Future movies.
Wait, you're fucking kidding me.
No, never seen Back
to Future. Yeah, you guys should do that next.
Yeah, that's, well, we're not doing it next. But it's on the list. The next group that we're doing is rapper movie. So the next movie we're going to be doing after this is God. Belly, featuring Shantae and Sherazar. They'll be joining us for that one. And then the movies after that are, I believe,
CB4,
and then Fear of a Black Hat, and then State Property Part 2. And then we were going to do Cool as Ice until it turned out that Vanilla Ice is a MAGA supporter. So the last one we're going to do for the month is Fast and Fierce Death Race featuring DMX.
God, this is DMX.
Tough. Yeah, yeah. Those last two movies are going to be tough for everybody, Brandon. Just bear down. I can't wait to talk shit about State Property 2, though. Like, I'm literally salivating to do it. And then the month after that, we have the 80s movie month. So we got Inner Space, and then we got Real Genius, which Shantae is going to be joining us for. And then we got Teen Witch, which Stephanie and Shantae are going to be joining us for. And then we have the Goonies, and then we got this, the punk-ass Junior with Problem Child.
That's my shit. Have you ever seen Problem Child, Mike?
Mm-mm.
I feel like you have a lot in common with Junior.
I feel like
I'm
you'd
kidding.
Be very upset. I don't think you have anything you in common with it? Junior. Because
no, but you're a person. That's not a compliment.
I'm kidding, Mike.
Junior
you're not
is a
Junior.
Piece of shit.
It's called Problem Child.
Oh, my God. That's such a horrible person. Like, I know it's not looked at as good to call a kid a horrible person, but that kid is a horrible, horrible person. Like, ugh. Fuck Junior.
Why do I have a lot in common with him?
He's teasing you.
You don't have anything in common with him.
No.
Except you do like nerd stuff. He did have the coolest bed of all time. Like, he had this bump bed, and the bump bed had, like, video game controls on it. It was like a spaceship and had a joystick and had all types of buttons and stuff. And he could
that
play video
right games. Up my alley.
Yeah, it was pretty. His bed was pretty dope.
Yeah, whatever.
That was about it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, again, thank y'all so much for checking us out. Be sure to leave a 5-star review wherever you listen to the podcast at. Tell your friends about us, things of that nature. We greatly appreciate y'all. And for Natalie and Michael and Brandon, I'm Derek. Y'all be good. Peace.
Peace.
Bye.
The music for Hindsight is Coffee by Cambo Smith, and it's from the Free Music Archive.
This is Single Simulcast. No, no, by now, did you say?